Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Neighborhood Church. Hello, good morning. Thank you for coming and joining me on what is outside an absolutely beautiful day. My name is Rebecca Rick. My pronouns are she, they. And I'm the associate pastor that runs all the kid programming downstairs. If you like my energy, which today will be a little bit more toned down today, but if you like some of our smallest, littlest neighbors, feel free to talk to me about opportunities to serve down there, whether it's just reading a book, whether it's coming in and having a prayerful moment over a snack, or if you have some sort of special talent. Maybe you are a secret puppeteer, and I do not know this yet. I don't know how you haven't told me, but if these are something that you have in your toolbox, we are looking for more tools. Not that you're a tool. No, let me back up. Let me say this. Everyone prays for a harvest, right? Sometimes what we need is more workers because the harvest is there and we're missing out on opportunities. And so if you'd like to make sure that we're capitalizing on making sure that these kiddos feel loved and safe and just have an experience on Sundays that feels playful and joyful, talk to me. I am here today in a season that historically for the church is a period of mourning. We, as a low church, as we say, we're not high church, we're not following the liturgy of the church calendar. Sometimes as a low church, we forget that there are seasons and cycles to our faith life that we don't incorporate anymore. And sometimes that's not always to our benefit. Bless you. So, where are we in the Bible? Holy Week is done. Great. That's a thing. It comes with all the feelings, all the horrificness. We all have heard the story. There's a Jesus moment for many of the disciples. And then from Easter to Pentecost, there are 49 days where we wait. See, doesn't that sound like fun downstairs? You know you want to get in on this. So imagine with me. This is a cycle in the Jewish faith that has been going on for years. It is called counting of the Omer. And what this means is that there's a period of time where we observe Passover in our instant freedom. And the time period it takes for Moses to bring us the commandments from God. For deliverance to connection to the divine. It's not instantaneous. God is with us the entire time, but there's a certain point where God comes down to us, and this is part of the Jewish faith that has been going on since its birth. And our Christian brothers and sisters, our Christian siblings in faith were Jewish. And so this waiting period continues. In the community, there it was the time of harvest. If you've read the story of Ruth, where she is out harvesting and she's sleeping on the harvest threshing floor and just happens to be there, right? Like there's all these stories we don't realize. That's what's happening. It's a time of harvest. And so there's celebration, there's work, there's waiting. We as Christians take this time between Holy Week and Pentecost, and we imagine. So imagine with me, you are a disciple of this Yeshua who is told to be the person, the Messiah, who is going to take a foreign occupying power and displace them. You will finally have the boot off of your throat. You wave palm branches as a sign of political liberation because you know finally your God has heard your prayers. Who are you? Maybe you're the son who had an inheritance, a large inheritance, who knows, who walked away from all of that to follow this man. He's homeless. There are people who are mocking him because he's crazy. But you know there's something there. Maybe you're the woman who saw her brothers going to shul, who saw her brothers getting all of the education and all of the religious teaching, and somehow instinctually you knew the answers before they even knew them. But because you were who you were, you didn't have access to the divine, not in the same way that your brothers did. And here comes a man who says, I don't care. Come follow me. Maybe you are the parent who's had a child who, my favorite story, is the parent who sat and cried at Jesus to say, my child, anytime he sees fire, tries to throw himself into it. Fire is a daily, continual, constant in that time period. This isn't just a once in a while happen. This is an everyday. Someone needs to have a hand on my child or they will harm themselves. And I'm exhausted. Take this burden away from me. And somehow, even though you do not understand how it happened, that burden is lifted off of you because this Yeshua came to town. And you follow him. And so now, you've packed all of these dreams, all of these hopes on this one man. And you see him brutally tortured and killed. And together you sit in a room with the words of Pontius Pilate still in your ear. What shall I now do with this man? Just like those disciples, many of us come to dead ends, to things where we envisioned things going one way and they didn't, and we don't understand what or why. And we have so many questions. And it's in this moment where we meet the disciples. I'd like for us to take a moment to take this in. In my home, many things that are in transition find their place in my room. The really cool serpent skin moss ball gold flake Christmas ornaments that a witchy friend made for me, I haven't made it to the Christmas box. Expired coupons and a neighborhood pin, if you want one of these, you can also grab one on the way out. There are laptops that don't work and books left unread. And in between all of these things, all of them good and beautiful at one time, there are stories. that have all kind of come to dead ends. The disciples, some of them had a Christ experience afterwards and continued to live out the message of Christ in a different way, not one as a political victor, but a king of our hearts in a different way. They were able to reframe that. Some walked away from the faith altogether. And some, when in 60 AD, when there was another political uprising, claimed other Jewish people as the true Messiah because they didn't want to give up the framework. They just needed to replace what was in the frame. It's easy when our theology no longer fits us to take all of it and just box it up and throw it all away. To start new, to wipe the board clean. And that doesn't only apply to theology, but it applies to a lot of things. The marriage that is struggling, the sobriety that you thought you had, but maybe you need to figure out something else again. The relationship with that one person, it's so complicated and it's so hard, and it's maybe it is best to just go no contact with them for sure. When people study people who hoard, study people who hoard things, who keep things, not the other word that I almost said. No. So when people take a look, when people have the chance to come in and clean up for someone who they can go in and box everything up and present everything new and hotel perfect, statistically, everything returns back to what it was before because you don't get to the root of the problem. Statistically. Can there be a situation where it does work for somebody? Absolutely. May I apply that? When we take a theology or a situation in our life, and we say, I am no longer believing that, and I'm going to sweep all of it away. Never going to go to church anymore. That Jesus, it's just a bunch of hogwash. Or whatever. We lose actually some really good things. If I were to box all this stuff up, I would throw away this spoon from my grandma. It's one of the only spoons I have of hers. And it may seem really dorky, but I always thought she was weird having them. And since she was quirky. And whenever I see this, I remember her being a quirky little old lady. And I get to have this. She didn't will me $1 billion or whatever. I wouldn't have known what to do with it anyways. But this, I can hardly keep care of this because it's been in a pile of stuff, unloved and uncared for a long time. But when I have it, I remember her and I remember her struggles as a really human. She wasn't perfect, but I really love her and I still feel her with me. Rocks from where I had some of the most profound moments of my life. Texts and prayers that sustained me through the darkest moments of my life. A mask that I wore for 2.5 years during COVID. A wedding picture for a wedding and a marriage that hasn't been right for a very long time. Things that were started and never finished. The point is, when we go and have that urge to take everything we are and everything we have been and everything that at one time blessed us and say, it's a dead end, and toss it all away, we forget that the Holy Spirit is willing to sit with us and filter through the things that still matter. So, church isn't what you thought it was going to be. They hurt you. Yep. Jesus is not who you thought it was. The Bible wasn't what you thought it was. This theology that you believed forever wasn't solid at the end of, yep. And we have the chance, if we want to just throw it all away. Baby in bathwater, right? Or we can trust the Holy Spirit to sit with us in our waiting in that upper room and say, this dream is broken. I don't understand why this is the way it is. But meet me here in this mess. As Christians, many of us grew up with this theology that says that we are all inherently evil and bad. We are sinners from birth and probably even before so. And we, as a church now, have said, none of that exists. We are throwing all of that to the side. We are all good and beautiful. And yes, there is truth to that. We are all good and beautiful. I am also here to tell you that I am not a good person. I'm not. When cornered, I will do what's best for me. When cornered, I will do what's best for my kids, regardless of the other person across the table from me. When I look at the Bible, do I read it through my own lens sometimes? Absolutely, I do. And we all do. And that's what it means to be human. And so perhaps when our forefathers of faith, because most of them were forefathers, said that we're all evil, I'd like to think of it as we're all messy. This stuff was all good and beautiful stuff. But this isn't good and beautiful. It's messy. Who I am at my core is good and beautiful. But right now, it is not in order. It is not in communion with itself and with the people around me and the divine. And unless I get those things in order, I will always be messy. And that's okay to have some mess. That's what it means to be human. But I can't lie to myself and tell you that I'm good and beautiful all the time, because Lord knows I'm not. And so what do? I emotionally, spiritually, even physically bring my mess to church. Because honestly, that's one of the things I'm not going to give up. Some of the theology and thoughts that I've had about faith and God, and yeah, it can move on. I can step away from it. But being able to be vulnerable with you guys to show you that I'm a messy person, and it's in relationship with you and relationship with myself and relationship with the divine, who I'm always learning more about every day, that is something that I'm not going to give up, because it's worth saving to me. It is a part of my mess that is going to help me make sense of all of this and filter through what I need to keep for me and what I can rejoicingly take off of my shoulders. So, how am I doing on that? Great. So, in a moment, we are going to have communion. And I'd like for us to not think of communion as Christ handing out the bread and the wine. But if you can have it, if you can entertain me for a moment, humor me. I'd like us to go back to that disciple that we can first picture in our mind at the beginning of this talk. That face of a grieving disciple. I'd ask that you take a moment to really try to picture and put yourself into that perspective. Your leader, your friend, your rabbi had told you any time you take of this bread or wine that you would think of him. And as you are sitting in a room with your heart ripped open, sitting in the ashes of dreams that you once had, wondering, what shall I do now with this man? Your friend next to you hands you a piece of bread. And you can feel it in your hand. You can smell its warmth. And before you even try to eat it, you feel your throat getting thick with emotions. You feel the tears well up in your eyes and a tightness in your chest that just wants to scream and cry, or you don't know, your fists may be balled. You may lose all strength in your body and weep. You take the bread. And you take the cup. And you remember. As you come up here for communion, I'm going to ask that we actually circle around and grab the communion from the back. It'll take me a second to move this. As you come up, I'd like for you to take a note of my mess. Go ahead and make stories of why this paperclip is so important. I don't know why the story is this. Maybe take a look at this girl and try to figure out who she is. Make stories. That's okay. Because there are many beautiful stories buried here. And I know that you too have many beautiful stories that are worth keeping in the mess that we all are. Thank you for being a part of this waiting, this transition, this recognition of the holiness that our mess can be. And before communion, I'd like to offer this prayer because perhaps you too are going through some transitions in your life. And you too are tired and wondering what to do next. And so I offer this prayer. It's called Sustain My Soul. Breathe into me, God. Empty me of angry judgments, of aching disappointments, and anxious trying. Breathe into me something like quietness, like confidence, that the lion and lamb are in me, that they may lay down together and be led by trust, as straightforward as a little child. Catch my pride and my doubt off guard, that at least for a moment, I may sense your presence and your caring and be surprised by sudden joy rising in me now to sustain me. Thank you for being a part of this service today. We at Neighborhood offer an open table, which means you don't have to be baptized or confirmed to join in this holy sacrament. You just have to be willing to say, I'm here. I'm human. And with that, amen. And that is God breathing into us.